Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden on a beautiful Friday for the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, True Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. And it's Party Friday.
Yes, Party Friday.
We are waiting to get Christopher Ruddy. He is the CEO of Newsmax. Newsmax this week announced that it is going to be going public, taking it public, the company public, in the next few months. And I think he can explain a little bit of investment opportunity now. Okay. But anyway, he'll be talking.
That would be a violation of all kinds.
Oh, okay. Nancy Pelosi is calling him up right now.
Nancy Pelosi can get in. You can't.
You cannot. So we hopefully will be getting him and we'll be talking to him about that. We want to also, we'll get into some new stuff coming out about the January 6th pipe bomb. It's sort of verifying the kind of stuff that we've been talking about.
And well, but it's stuff we've been talking about ever since 2016 and the Russia thing. And we used to have Matt Dunn and we'd all go through all those things. And all the
different lies and Michael Tao and all that. Start off while we wait and see if we're going to get Christopher Ruddy. So the Colorado legislature, the governor and the lawmakers have called a special session once again to try to deal with property taxes. Anyone who got their property tax bill this past year knows it's like, whoa, things went up quite a bit. They tried to tackle it in November in the legislature.
They did tackle it by giving you almost nothing.
Right.
Because really, the Democrats love the fact that it's fleecing you and it all goes to fire districts and special districts and, you know, all things. And they've gotten rich. I mean, they're pigs in the trough right now. And of course, everybody is weighing in order to screw the homeowners, the Republicans, the Democrats, Advanced Colorado, Colorado Concern, the Marxist-Leninist Party of Colorado, they're all screwing you.
Right.
And you can read all you want on the Colorado Sun or Colorado Politics, the Denver Post, believe nothing of it, absolutely nothing of it. It is a screw job to you. What they're going to do, Advanced Colorado, think Anschutz, is getting together with Colorado Concern, Think Anschutz, and they're going to sit down and talk to Polis and see what they can do in the legislators to screw you and get as little money back as humanly possible. Well, that's the whole point of it. And they're all saying, nobody wants to go to the polls. Well, why don't you want to go to the polls? we don't want to hear those stupid public things.
Here's what sort of sparked the special session. So the legislature tried and they couldn't come up with something that everybody agreed on.
No, they did come up with something that they all agreed on. And it was a screw
job. Okay, you're right.
They reduced almost nothing and tried to sell it to everybody as this great tax reduction for you.
But the business people, Think Anschutz, didn't think it went far enough. So they proposed several ballot initiatives, one that would address property taxes. One has already made it and will be on the ballot. Another one, they're kind of certifying the signatures, so it looks like it's going to be on the ballot. So that caused the government to freak out because it is indeed possible that voters could pass it. From what I understand, the polling is not clear. And I think you're absolutely right, Chuck. What this is both sides do not want the public, us, to decide what to do. So they're getting together.
Let's make it straight. The Democrats, they think you'll actually cut stuff and help yourself.
Right.
The Republicans are thinking, I don't know. We don't want to screw over Anschutz, so we'll make some tepid deal that'll help the homeowners just a little bit and pump it up, gaslight everybody, and say, hooray, hooray, Polis and Barbara Kirkmeyer have come together and we're all set.
Republicans, when all was said and done, have such little power in the legislature.
They had lots of power, too. They had little power in the legislature last time because they didn't have a ballot initiative.
Right. Yes.
And so now they're all going to get.
Power is behind the ballot initiative.
But that's run by Advance Colorado and Colorado Concern. So, you know, it's left wing Anschutz and right wing Anschutz out to screw you, the homeowner. They'll help commercial people because they own a lot of commercial property.
Well, I think, yeah, to me, it's like, I would just say the very fact that the government is terrified that voters might actually reduce property taxes and sort of, like you said, turning off the spigot to them. You have the business people terrified that voters won't cut taxes for them right. and for themselves. And so nobody wants to trust the voters.
And here's the other part.
Just finish. It seems like the whole point is, why not let the voters decide? I'm against this special session. If the voters of Colorado foolishly, in my opinion, say, no, we don't want to cut our taxes, our property taxes. Well, then we got to live with that. If the voters of Colorado say, we do want to cut our property taxes, then the government has to live with this. That's what the voters decide. And they're like, no. Once again, we get not let those pesky voters decide.
You have to understand, it's a lose-lose for Democrats. If the people don't approve the ballot measures, then it'll take just a couple more years of exorbitant property taxes to them to turn on the Democrats. So the Democrats don't want that. And they don't want the things to pass because if they did, the homeowners get a break.
Right.
So they want to make sure they go into a session, have all the corrupt, false corporate media say, hooray for the people. They saved us billions. They saved us millions. They didn't save you shit. And all the crooked Barbara Kirkmeyer saying, oh, hooray, hooray.
The big money donors are just, you know, telling them what to do, right?
Well, I mean, who cares, again, the
bottom line here is that neither, it should just make you very suspicious that neither side wants the voters to decide, right?
Well, you have to think of it as, remember the bipartisan voter bill that was pushed by the Oklahoma Republican senator? And they just got taken to the cleaners by the Democrats. They just got taken to the cleaners. All it would do was get the people through quicker, faster, as U.S. citizens and getting work permits and everything else. And it did nothing about the border. It did nothing. And so even the Republicans couldn't stand it. And so it didn't pass the 60-vote threshold. But the Democrats, ever since then, Trump stopped it. This would have really helped people. Yes, the Republicans don't want to solve the border crisis. This would be great.
Right.
And it's a joke. And this is a joke.
The special session is a joke.
Yeah, because it's still going to be, 80 Democrats and 20 Republicans.
And 8 million business. Well, no, a handful of really rich donors.
A lobbyist down at the Capitol around 2000. And I can tell you this is absolutely true. Absolutely true. There's one party of evil, and you can just watch the people go through the cafeteria, and you see somebody evil, you go, Democrat. and then you see a nice guy that's dumb, or not so nice, a Holtorf dumb kind of person. And you go, that's a Republican, you can tell. And so every time they negotiate, the brighter people win, who are the evil people. So when they go to a legislative session, the Republicans say, we need this little thing.
Right.
And they will kind of go, okay, we'll do that.
We
want a little thing here, which just gives away the farm.
We will be keeping an eye on that. But fortunately, we have Christopher Ruddy with
Yay!
Us.
Yay!
Check it out. Let you go ahead.
Okay. Hey, Chris. How's it going?
Hey. Hi. Glad to be on.
Hi.
Yeah,
well, thank you. Chris is the founder and principal shareholder of Newsmax, the number 4 rated cable station, and hopefully will keep on rising. I know a lot of us, when they threw Hannity over, started going to Newsmax, and glad we did. So it's great to have you on.
Well, Newsmax is rising, and I'm Chuck and Julie. I'm really glad to be on with you. As you know, we're very close to overtaking CNN in the ratings,
yeah.
So it's a big move for us and millions of people. Reuters just did a study in June, and they said there were 12 top news brands in the United States. And guess what? Newsmax was one of the 12.
All right. Well, and so talk a little bit about, so you guys are going to take the company public in the next few months. Talk about why, what that means, and actually if people want to get a piece of Newsmax, how do they go about doing that?
Well, that's very nice of you to even mention it. You know, Newsmax announced this summer that we're planning to go public. And we're expecting to go public at the end of this year, early next year. So that was very big news, made the Wall Street Journal and other places. And one of the things, we felt that we're so close to overtaking CNN. We're reaching so many people. We've been private for a long time. Why don't we get shareholders, people that are going to own a piece of Newsmax, to be our partners across the country? So we feel like if we go public, hundreds of thousands of people will invest in Newsmax and be partners with us. So that's a very positive thing. We also saw the success of President Trump's Trump Media. Right. That went public, and it's worth, what, like $4 or $5 billion right now, as high as $10 billion. And while we're not saying we're going to have the same result, we are saying that a lot of people are interested in supporting conservative media, media that's challenging the liberal establishment. So we think since we've announced, we've had a tremendous interest. People have been going to our website, which is newsmaxinvest.com, to learn about the IPO. They're also learning about how they can buy shares early, the pre-IPO shares, before the planned public offering. And
how do you get around that not being a public offering? Because you're making it available to the public, in which the reason why you go through the SEC and all that is because you have to offer shares publicly. And usually the pre-shares are among, you do a 4-2 or a similar type of private investment. How do you get the public to be part of it?
Chuck, that's a really good question. A lot of people don't know that that's an important issue.
Yeah.
Back 15 or 20 years ago, it was impossible to do what I'm doing.
Right.
But
right.
Obama and the Republicans passed a law, one of the few laws he actually passed. It was called the Jobs Act in 2013. And what it allowed is small companies to go public with an expedited, what they call Regulation A offering. And it's great. There's less rules, less cumbersome burden, obstacles. So you get the expedited. Now, the downside is you can only raise $25 million when you go public, but they let you go out to what they call accredited investors beforehand and publicly allow them to invest. And the SEC defines accredited investors as people with an income of over $200,000, net worth over $1 million. They're the rules the SEC sets, not Newsmax. And so people can go to newsmaxinvest.com. We have all the documents there. And if they're a accredited investor, as defined by the SEC, and the rules are there at newsmaxinvest.com, they can actually buy a share for $5,000, and they can use their credit card, which is pretty amazing. So it's all it may be the only good thing that Barack Obama did.
And who's your underwriter for the early one and then the general one?
Another good question. The underwriter is a company called Digital Offering that's been around for about 12 years. They're famous in this reggae spot and online offerings, and they've done a lot of big deals through the years, billions of dollars of transactions or related transactions. And they say that the response we have gotten for this offering is the biggest they've ever seen from the investors across. So we've had over 40,000 people come online and go to newsmaxinvest.com, say they're planning on investing, and there's a portal there. And if people have problems, a lot of people can't go through the online. Just hit the email, say, send me the documents. They'll mail them by mail. And people are doing it. And it's an amazing success story.
That's
and I think
cool.
we're going to have a really – and, you know, I think, look, the media in this country is extremely biased. It's gotten worse. It used to be like a – mostly liberal. Now it's really left wing. It's very polarized. Look what they've done to President Trump. Newsmax, you know, Fox News has been good for a long time, but it's changing rather dramatically.
Right. Yeah.
I know at one time you owned 60% of the shares of Newsmax. After the two offerings, what percentage will you have of the company?
Well, you're really doing a lot of good research.
Well, no, Chuck, in fairness, you should know, Chuck isn't an attorney, and he used to be an SEC attorney, so he's not. We should have told Sandy that when we booked you.
I'm glad I have all these answers, otherwise I'd be up a creek. But I did at one point own 60%. I own 50%. I'm the majority shareholder right now. And what will happen is I'll take this investment round and then once we go public, the shares will dilute down. I don't have an exact number. I'm guessing I'll end up in the 35 to 40% ranged after all these new investors come in. However, I'll still have the controlling shares, as and that's all in the document that we have. We have a very extensive document that, you know, goes through the guidelines. It's called a private placement memorandum. People should read that before investing. And Chuck, I think, would agree with that. And it's at NewsmaxInvest.com.
Well, what are there different classes of stocks, some with voting rights and some without?
Yeah, so right now, they would be, the people investing now would have, so the voting rights shares are held by me and the other shareholders. The convertible preferred Series B, 7% shareholders do not have voting rights. And they will have preferred shares, so they're top in line if there was any problem with the company.
A liquidation or something, yeah.
Well, let me, Chris, so ask you.
Let me ask a couple other things.
7% dividend.
Okay.
But I just want to ask this in terms of. Well, I was going to say, in terms of like, why now? We were on our show the other day just talking about, there's an article in Hollywood Reporter talking about, you know, that cable news and the sort of like use of the traditional news media and the delivery platforms are struggling right now. What is it about Newsmax and what you guys are doing that, so some might say, well, hey, this is not the right time to do that, right? We need to be looking at other things. But what is it about Newsmax and what you're seeing going on in the country that make you guys confident this is the right move at the right time?
Well, I mentioned the success of President Trump's media company. That's a good example. And there have been other conservative media. Rumble has done pretty well, went out in the public market. There's a thing called Public Square. But I think Newsmax is the biggest in terms of track record and reach. And we believe that the cable market, we have still a lot of room to grow in cable.
Yeah.
So that's going to be good. And then we have our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, that's on Roku and Samsung and all those devices that you have apps. If you download on your smartphone, you can get the Newsmax app. And then we have the Newsmax Plus service, which is a streaming service that has 250,000 subscribers. People go on there to get their movies and documentaries and other things that we have in addition to our great channels. So we have a lot of area for growth. And I think this is the moment. And people are, you know, if you're tired of the media and the old media, you really want to support new media. One way is to invest in Newsmax and become an owner. Enjoy it.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
My father's company went public on the New York Stock Exchange, so I got to be part of that, and then did practice securities law. And I must have been one of the part I was shocked about, and this doesn't apply to your underwriters, they may be, but the underwriters seemed concerned very much with what they got out of it and not enough about what the public got. But I'm sure your deal is different. But it was always amazed me that the underwriters.
Well, you know, they get a commission, but it's below market, actually. They're not taking as much as some others. And
special consulting fees, special this, special that.
Well, there's not a lot of extras. It's all in the document. But, you know, when you become a public company, there's a lot of fees and expenses. Thanks to the Democrats, they added a lot of burdens on public companies. So you only go public if you feel like you have a real. One of the nice things about these shares, anybody that buys the early shares will get a discount of 25% to the IPO price. So subject to the approval of the SEC, we become public. The share value would be 25% to the IPO value. So that's a locked in amount that would benefit the potential shareholders here. So that's.
And good, who's your securities counsel?
We have a security counsel at a firm.
In the firm? Just in the firm?
Excuse me?
Outside counsel or just in-house?
No, he's an SEC attorney. He's an attorney of securities law, and he's very well, there's a whole bunch of partners that weigh in on everything we do there.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. I would think
Mullen
that
is a very prominent New York firm.
Which one?
Shepherd Mullen is a very prominent New York firm.
One thing, too, it would seem to me, sort of like you said, the success of Truth Social, and tell me if this is what you guys are seeing or hoping, that you know, we've seen, like, you look at CNN, right? You look at, I was reading today, CBS, they're revamping. They got rid of Nora, what's her name? And they're revamping their morning show now. A lot of stuff is going on because people just don't trust them at all. And I think, I know, I guess we, I'll be honest, we're not that familiar with Newsmax before they started banning everything and then started watching it, right? And you guys do a great job. And you're I think you're straightforward. You know what you're getting, and you don't like lie about things. I would think that people, are you seeing people wanting to invest because they kind of, they want to sort of be part of that and they want to preserve our First Amendment rights as opposed to just be like, oh, okay, this is, you know, like Kleenex, I'll invest in this because it's a good bet. I mean, are you seeing, I guess, sort of
ideological.
Yeah, perfect. Ideological investment strategy there too.
Well, I think people that like Newsmax are more, I think it's good. I think it's a good business decision, but people need to make that with their advisors. And I think, secondly, if they care about the media and they want to support media, this is one way of doing it. You know, the country, everything we believe is pretty much under assault. Like, right. You know, look at the weaponization of the legal system and how the media turned a blind eye. Look at this gender ideology stuff that is just really a little crazy, frankly. And, you know, the idea that there's more than two genders and that people can change their gender and children should be have surgery. I, you know, disagree. I think it's a free country. If people want to say they're whatever they want to say, they can. That's the Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But you shouldn't be forcing children or having children doing surgery when they're 12 years old.
Yeah,
right. Parents shouldn't be doing that.
No.
I don't believe that that's the, let the child become an adult and decide what they want to do.
Absolutely. Well, one last question, because I know you've got a lot of time, you know, we don't want to take up too much of your time. You're so kind to offer it to us, but the use of proceeds, which is in the confidential offering memorandum, what will the money be used for?
Well, it's going to go into the Chuck and Julie show.
I really excellent. That's what I was hoping. That's what I was hoping.
Really used, and we could change Texas and the world. And so I think that, you know, the document that we have on the website details it, that basically there's three areas of growth for the company on the cable channel: talent, new programming, new marketing. And then we have the growth of Newsmax Plus, the marketing and additional content for that. And then there's the Newsmax streaming channel that we're going to continue to invest in. So we've invested a lot over 25 years. We never really went to the capital markets until about 2018. And those investments have paid off. So we're looking forward to continued growth. And we really hope you take a look and become a part of us. And if not now, if you're not eligible, that you would consider doing a purchase of the IPO when it's approved by the SEC.
Well, that's great. Well, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing all that with us, and want to wish you the best of luck.
I really enjoyed the conversation. It was different than others, but very well informed, Chuck. And Julie, and I look forward to being in touch, and keep up your good work on the podcast.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Christopher Ruddy there, the CEO of Newsmax. Yeah, I should have said, Chuck used to be a security
surveyor. Oh, you always want to blow the deal. Always want to tell we're playing golf or something. Or Chuck is an former SEC attorney, and you always want to tell him something.
It's interesting, and I find it heartening, frankly, that they are offering it, right?
Yeah,
obviously,
that's great.
Somebody, given all sort of the dire news that's out there about the cable industry, they aren't doing that lightly, right? I mean, and somebody somewhere, a bunch of somebodies somewhere have looked at it and said, this is going to be a good move for us to do, and we're going to be able to pull it off, and we're going to have continued growth. So that's pretty interesting, I think.
It is.
I wanted to talk about one of the things. Here's another one. Chuck and Julie were right. Again, story. So we've been talking for a while, since January 6, 2020, about the January 6th, the insurrection and things. And then there's been a lot of talk, and Julie Kelly has done a lot of great work on this too, if you ever want to check out her Substack. There was the pipe bomb. Remember the pipe bomb? No one remembers a pipe bomb because no one talks about it. There was a pipe bomb ostensibly there to blow up Kamala Harris, right?
Well, now, one was placed by the RNC, one placed by the DNC, and it just so happens Kamala Harris was off the DNC.
Right. So anyway, so she's there, theoretically blow her up. They initially made a big deal of it, and then it just went away, completely went away. Nobody says anything about it. There's been no investigation. Zippo, right?
Oh, there's a thorough investigation.
Well, yeah, thorough investigation and a thorough cover-up is what it was. And we were saying a long time ago, that what it was is the pipe bomb was, I think, and we're going to play some Dan Bongino sound, or he calls it Plan A. So they knew, the Republicans were kind of gearing up then to talk about election certification and election integrity and some of the stories that we were hearing about the questions about election integrity. They did not. They, being the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi, did not want anyone talking about that. Right. So their plan was to create an emergency. And if they created emergency, well, then no one got to talk about it. And they just had to vote yes. Everybody says yes. And that's it. Ta-da. You know, done deal. Thank you. Everyone go home now. Right. I think they had planted people clearly to be insurrectionists. I mean, that's obvious, right? And they were hoping that that would be. And frankly, I think that succeeded with the help of the corrupt media beyond their wildest expectations.
Right.
But I think the pipe bomb, which was not a pipe bomb at all, was the initial plan.
Well, they claimed it was a pipe bomb. They claimed it had a fuse and it had black powder and it was could cause enormous damage had it gone off.
Right. And then later on said, okay, never mind that. Actually, maybe it was a training device. Like they're having a pipe bomb training day.
Well, they do with the FBI.
Well, yeah. So what has recently come to, and the video, the shocker here, has always been kind of parts of it have been unavailable. And some new video has come to light. And what it shows is a guy in a hoodie carrying a bag, getting out of a police car, walking toward the bench, right? Which is like 15 feet from the police car is. Now, coincidentally, the videotape just stops there. It doesn't, we don't see from the other camera where he goes. This is all we have. Okay. Then he gets comes walking back around. And then somebody, I think it's the same guy actually says, oh, look, there's a pipe bomb over there. Although nobody's concerned about it. Right. So the obvious implication is that this guy gets out of the police car and puts a pipe bomb or the pipe bomb looking device there. And then that was their plan A. And we were saying that a long time ago.
And they'd have another one following just right behind them saying, hey, look, I discovered a pipe bomb, and go over to a police car, just happened to be sitting there, saying, we found something that looked like a police car.
Keep in mind that theoretically they were trying to convince us it was there all night, but which raises a question, why didn't the Secret Service, the bomb dogs, people walking back and forth by this bench, sitting at the bench, how come no one noticed it? And I think this answers the question. This, I believe, shows a cop, apparently.
We don't know that.
Well, somebody was in a cop car. Let's put it that way. Somebody was in a cop car, and you have to fill out ride-along paperwork, right? If you're going to ride along with a cop, you don't just like, you know, they're not Uber drivers.
But
if you're a secret cop planning fake pipe bombs.
Yeah.
But literally minutes before they pretend to discover it. So, and Dan Bongino, I think, who does a great job, because he knows how this whole system works, former Secret Service guy, right? This is him talking about it. If we could please play the Bongino number one sound. By Thomas.
Bottom line up front, here's what I think happened. I think this is one of the biggest scandals in politics. They absolutely could not have Republican United States senators on certification day outing stories of voter fraud. You understand? All of America would have heard what happened in the 2020 election. They had to interrupt it. The insurrection, what they call what happened at the Capitol, I don't think that entire thing was planned that way, but I don't. I think there were people in there who were instigating, but I don't think they anticipated that reaction. Don't mistake what I'm saying. I think they expected and wanted chaos. Absolutely. I just told you they had to interrupt the hearing. They had to. But I don't think they expected that. I don't. So they had a, I can prove it to you. So they had a backup plan. The backup plan was going to be these pipe bombs near the RNC at the Capitol Hill Club. and at the DNC. That way, if the chaos didn't break out at the Capitol, they could say, we got to shut this thing down. Kamala Harris was almost killed by a pipe bomb. You get it?
And I think it's actually the opposite. I don't think the pipe bomb was a backup plan. I think the pipe bomb was the original plan, because that they could totally control. But then when the Capitol blew
systematic.
Up, yeah, they could do that. And that's why there's never been any investigation, really. Or any
of course there's been investigated. They're looking for the guy who's in the snow. And that was a fake one, right? And
right.
They couldn't get him. And all of a sudden he was carrying something. That was just a fake deal.
Right.
And another thing that Bongino said, I'm not sure if you have it on another.
Well, we have him walking through the videotape. So.
But he was saying, being the police secretive, they had a plan C if they got caught, which is it was a training exercise.
Right.
He said, look, it's a training thing. It's a training exercise.
I think
we've got to make sure our guys are on top of things, or you could have, Butler, Pennsylvania. I mean,
we always do pipe bomb training exercises in the middle of a mass demonstration at the state.
Yeah. Of course, that's when you have them.
You do your training. So Dan Bongino walks through this newly released. But keep in mind, there were people who were aware that the D.C. Capitol Police were aware of it. The Democrats were aware of it. The people holding the hearings were aware of it. It's just us that are becoming aware of it now. Everyone actually knew about this all along. And no one, Liz Cheney didn't bother to say, hey, what about that pipe bomb video? You know, that guy who gets out of the police car? What's up with that? So if we could please.
Liz Cheney?
Yeah, we could please play the Dan Bongino number two soundbite, Thomas. He walks us through this now.
So here, thanks to Julie Kelly and Darren Beatty and others, we have this. There's a police vehicle from D.C. Metro showing up. You're going to see a guy get out of the car not far from where the bomb is. You'll see in the split screen. This is about, 15 feet away where the bomb was later, found. You'll see Julie put this together there. You'll see this. You'll see the guy getting out with a bag out of this Metro police car. And you see him right there with the bag. He looks, I don't assume he's a police officer. He's in a police vehicle. He could be working with someone. He's in a police vehicle, but don't automatically assume he's a police officer. Could be, but we don't know that yet. We just know he's definitely in a D.C. Metro police vehicle. And you'll see that where he gets out of the car, that the bomb, again, is found just, 15 feet away or so. There he goes walking back. Now, a guy who's a Capitol Hill police officer, oddly enough, just minutes after that, finds the same bomb and goes up to a D.C. vehicle, a D.C. Metro police vehicle. Hey, look, I think we got a pipe bomb over there. Folks, this is insane. Now, was he carrying a pipe bomb? I always apply the Bongino rule. I don't state things I can't back up. I'm just asking a few logical questions. Yeah, I love this. Keep going. He's going to keep running this and running this and running this. Folks, how in the hell does the guy get out of the car with this black bag, walk right over to where the bomb is? If the bomb was there in advance at the DNC, like the FBI keeps telling us, it was planted the night before, how did the Secret Service bomb dog miss it? And how did this cop miss it?
And the answer is he didn't. He planted it. Now, and as you pointed out, Chuck, you could see the license, but how hard would it be?
As you pointed out, they have GPS on all those police vehicles. Identifying the car, driver, and the car would be no problem. But somehow,
4 years later, all you're going to do is find out, okay, who was the cop driving the car at that time, right? And then you say, who was the guy in the car with you? And what did he do when he, and like I'm saying, you can't just do ride-alongs, right? There's paperwork somewhere.
Right.
There's paperwork somewhere. If he's not a cop.
He can disappear like cocaine can disappear.
And he wanders over there. I mean, what's he doing? Why are they letting him out? He's like, oh, I need to get out here. He kind of wanders over by the bag, then kind of wanders over to the other police car. I mean, sometimes we were talking about this and I'm like, sometimes you just kind of get tired of saying, okay, the Russia hoax, that was a hoax, right? I mean, Matt Taibbi is like, we think the Clinton campaign was involved. Really, Matt, where were you 4 years ago, right? Or it's 8 years ago now. You know, the Hunter Biden laptop story, that was true. But I think that no matter sometimes how much you hate the Democrats, it's not enough. Okay. The Democrats.
Which doesn't mean you shouldn't hate the Republicans.
Right. Well, because we're the Republicans. Republicans are doing what they can on this.
And no, they haven't.
But I think, and this is why.
One or two have.
Well, yes, exactly. This is why they're constantly screaming, election denier, election denier.
Which is brilliant.
Right, right. Because they want to shut you up because that cannot bear scrutiny. And not only that, but it's like they've gotten people like Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham, those people trained, right? So they know if they start looking at this, then all of a sudden people are going to be suing them and they're going to be election deniers and someone's going to be suing them. And this is like Dan Bongino said, this is one of the worst scandals in American history. The Democrats were so worried about information coming out questioning election integrity that they created not one but two diversions to make it impossible for that actual certification or verification hearing to go on.
Right.
And then they immediately, with the help of the corrupt media, launched this massive campaign to shame and silence and destroy and imprison anyone who raised questions about it, right?
Well, let me, if the Republicans had done a January 6th committee and thrown off all of the loyal Republicans and the ones in question, you think Democrats would, okay, let's just have it go on.
Right.
No, they would have brought everything to an end, to a halt.
Right.
They would not just go, okay, well, you know, I'm glad we've got Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, so it'll be okay, right?
Yeah. Right, right. Well, and as Leo says, if you were actually planning a pipe bomb, wouldn't you leave it in the duffel bag so it doesn't stick out like a pipe bomb in the park? Or at least a paper bag. The guy who was blowing things up in Grand Junction many years ago at least left them in paper bags, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a duffel bag might hurt the explosion, so a paper bag. But yeah, you wouldn't just stick it there. But what is so disgusting and disgraceful is, again, that this was clearly somebody planned this, right? These cops didn't just wake up themselves that day and go, you know, I'm kind of worried about this whole election integrity issue, Chuck, so we're going to plant a pipe bomb. And meanwhile, hopefully those, you know, the fake and the Fed insurrectionists, they'll get things stirred up there. No, this was carefully planned. It was carefully orchestrated. There were many people who were part of it, right? The cops had, the cop who has the fake pipe bomb in the bag, you'd think at some point he would have said to a commander, no, wait, let me see if I have this straight. So Bill is going to drive me in a police car to the DNC. I'm going to get out with this fake pipe bomb. I'm going to stick it under a bench. Then I'm going to walk over to Tom, who's sitting in the other police car, and go, oh, hey, guys, I just found a pipe bomb. And we're going to close down the city. And they're like, yes. Do you know what I mean? And then he doesn't ever come forward and say, no, actually, that's...
Well, they didn't tell him that. I said, we got a training exercise. We've got to have the guys think it's real and stuff, but it won't. Don't worry about it.
No, I mean, it was that was their excuse. But I mean...
Well, that was how they told the cops. You're not going to tell the cops, hey, we're going to try to pretend that the...
It's not like the cops would have bought that. I mean,
it doesn't matter what they bought. That's what they were told.
Investigators. Well, but again, this was planned. There were a lot of people who had to be in on this, right? And then they quickly abandoned it. Not only did there have to be a lot of people who were in on the planning of it, there had to be a lot of people who were in on the burying of it, right? Including the politicians. Well, but I mean, they've never gone through it. They've never revealed it. They've hidden the videotape. It is, when you think of, I mean, just the corruption there, and not the Democrats worry about Republicans and election integrity. It's like, you know, that's what worries me about this coming election. This is what they were willing to do to prevent any kind of discussion about election integrity in 2020, right? I mean,
what have they done? How many 1,500 people have been arrested and put under horrifying circumstances in DC jails?
When it was all part of their plan. I mean, if you think so, I mean, clearly, and I'm sure they had several, who knows what else was going on too, right? All to prevent Americans from knowing that there were questions about the election. Not even what the answer, but forget what the answers might be, at least questions. And then the media immediately jumps on. When you read the stories about Tina Peter, they're like chief election denier. It's like, do they say anything about this? Does the Colorado Sun or Colorado Politics, I know it's a national story, but is it anywhere on their website about this, you know, this clearly somebody getting out of a cop car and planting the pipe bomb? And it's like, and no one cares? No one is like, well, what was that about, right? No.
Can't do that.
They have to silence us and shut us up. And it's insane that that's what's going on. And it does make me worry. I mean, if they were willing to do that, I mean, think how much smarter, and because they were like, man, that was not very good. We need to make sure there's no surveillance cameras the next time around, because, you know, if
the, like a service does, they clam up and then you tape it and then you're all set.
Like in the Epstein jail.
Yeah, Epstein jail. That just, everything just happened to,
right.
What a, you know, kind of inadvertent things coming together. Right. That's amazing.
Right, right. And from Jacob, computer hackers were able to crack the Dominion software, too late to do anything. Well, they've already, I mean, yeah, they've talked about that too. And it's like, now if you say that, the Democrats said that before, and then it was, you know, a legitimate issue. But now if you say that, you're election denier. So I just think that this is something, and I know sometimes we get tired of like, oh, wait, another corrupt Democrat media story. It's like, yes.
Yes.
I know it gets old, but it's like, you have to understand. I mean, this is the United States of America. And
used
this
to be,
is,
Julie.
Well, it still is. And
no, it's not.
And this is what they've done. And, you know, maybe thank goodness you've got places like Newsmax. And again, they make it so tricky for people to report on this, right?
Right.
But I thank God for Twitter, really, right?
Yes,
I mean, that's
Elon Musk, the new Twitter, or the new X and the old Twitter.
It's from Jacob. I think what is disgusting is Denver City Councilman Cashman, who gave a speech saying we should all vote for the 0.05 tax to raise like $1 billion for homeless in Denver. What do the citizens of Denver have? Why do we have to pay for the homeless? It won't bother me, as though I shop outside of Denver 95% of the time anyway. Cashman says it's only a few bucks for each taxpayer. That would give Colorado, just so you know, if Denver passes this, and Denver people are insane enough to do that, it would give Colorado, that would make Denver, I think, be the highest taxed, outside of Aspen, I think, the highest taxes in Denver, and one of the highest, and then Colorado, and one of the highest in the country. But the good news is, guys, I guess everyone keeps forgetting, John Hickenlooper solved the homeless.
It was a 10-year plan.
Homelessness. They only get this money. There's so many people making money out of the whole thing.
Right.
What else? Oh, court hearing. Wanted to update you. Well, sort of an update. Let me see if I have on the Todd Watkins court.
Trader Todd
thing. So remember, the judge issued the temporary restraining order preventing him from having his first fake meeting. He now wants to try to have a second fake meeting. But in the meantime, the state Republican Party had filed for a permanent injunction. Our guess is the judge is going to decide he does not have jurisdiction. They all presented, both sides presented their briefs on Tuesday. I know the Republican Party, Dave Williams, they were anticipating hearing something about whether the judge was going to hold a hearing on it or not by today. I'm guessing maybe not. I don't know. Maybe the judge will release it at 4 o'clock before he goes home, so nobody can bother him. You know, I don't know. But the bottom line is, though,
on Fridays he gets off at 3.
He gets off at 3. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Different text. Really, he gets off at 3. So, but no word yet on that. So, and I guess where I was going with that is, I think it's possible maybe today, but maybe not. I don't know. In a way, though, I'm glad, because the more time that goes by, I think that makes it harder and harder for Todd to try to hold another fake meeting, right?
I
guess you're right. Doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
No. Well, you're right. That's why he's kind of like the Democrats with the pipe bomb. Oh, it's a training exercise. It's like, oh, I held my own meeting.
Yeah.
Me and my dog. And, you know, and we all
Dumpty Nancy Pelosi.
Right. And we all like voted Dave Williams out, and I'm the new party chair. Hooray.
Eli Bremmer.
Eli Bremmer.
He said, I have nothing to do with Eli Bremmer. Then it comes out that Eli Bremmer, in fact, paid for all the notices to go.
And now who paid Eli Bremmer is another story.
One we need to break.
Speaking of paying, though, you'll be glad Kamala Harris is going to, first, don't believe any of this, right? She released her economic plan. She's going to, because this will help inflation, she's going to give $25,000 to first-time home buyers who qualify.
That are from China.
Now, here's what's going to really happen. A bunch of Ukrainians and a bunch of Chinese people are going to go ahead and say, I'm a first-time home buyer.
Yeah,
and the United States government is going to give your tax dollars to them so they can buy more property. Has nothing to do with affordable housing, but it's like, and $25,000, what kind of home are they buying that they need that kind of down payment? It's like, these are first time home buyers. It's like, and where's that money going to come from?
You?
Well, for me, that's a good point. That's why they're not going to reduce our property taxes. And in the meantime, she's going to stop grocery stores from price gouging. Now, all of this begs the question, they've been in office for 4 years. Why haven't they done anything about it yet? They're the ones who created the inflation in the first place, right? They're the ones who created the economic situation. And her response is to just give people, it's like $1.7 trillion worth of handouts, because that worked so well last time,
yeah,
right?
It'll be no problem. It'll be no problem. It's just, you got to love America.
Well, you do. Pretty soon they will have to tax the homeless to get the money to give them. We will all be homeless. I'm from Jacob. Like the Secret Service management meeting earlier this week, in the meeting, everyone had a kumbaya moment with management instead of firing the incompetent agents. Right. Well, and who's the agent? Did you guys see that? The agent at another Trump thing was breastfeeding, like right minutes before they're doing the—
Without telling anybody ahead of time.
And brought the baby and family members.
Family there, and they're all having a good time in some party room.
So the president's coming, we're clearing, we're shutting down the area. It's just like, oh, but I have to breastfeed now. So somebody brings her the baby. They go in a room that was set aside.
Well, remember that squad on the day Trump was shot? One of the members said, I have to go home. They didn't say why. Yeah, maybe the breastfeeding again.
And this was the room, theoretically, that if like things went bad and they needed like a room to go to.
That would be it.
That would be it. And I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny. You know, and like somebody was saying earlier, it does, with all the conspiracy theories, it does kind of make you wonder, what was the deal?
You know, we've seen before the one with the fumbling with the holster and stuff. Right. Now they've got much better ones. All three of them, the three blind mice, all with their black sunglasses on, all with their ponytails, you know, looking around. And
right. Well, Sandra says she was going to mention that DEI is all BS. I want my money back, and I want my state back, and I want my country back. Well, exactly. My daughter, all of a sudden, another dog came by. So
we're really a kennel almost.
Yeah. Hey, and that's going to start to wrap it up for us in this Party Friday. Want to let you know Robert Spencer's going to be on
that
on,
be great
on
to have
Monday.
Talked to him for a while.
Yeah, no, he's got a bunch of columns out there. So that's going to do it for us. Thank everybody. Wait, okay, see.
Thank you.
It got
thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. Somebody started at our house. We'll see you later. Bye, everybody, on Zoom.